Joining us now, she's on the LPGA Tour. Therese O'Hare joins us. Therese, welcome into the golf shop.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
So, all right. So, I asked this earlier. We had somebody else on from the Symetra Tour, and I like to know things. Mm-hmm. How do you kill time when you're out on the road on the LPGA Tour? I mean, what do you do with yourself?
Oh, you know what? Sometimes it seems like there's not that much time to kill, to be honest, because you're kind of out on the course most times, but most of the day. But when I come back, I don't know, to relax, I love to read, catch up on a little Netflix. I stay a lot in the host housing, so you spend time with your host, and that's pretty much it.
Well, I mean, do you venture out and see the sights of the cities that you go to at all?
Unfortunately, not too much, because there might be, like, during the week, there might be, like, one afternoon you have off, and then you end up kind of being tired anyway, so you just want to stay home and relax, because it is a little bit of work when you're on the road. Unfortunately, you get to, I guess that's the bad part, if you ever get to miss a cut, then you do have a little more time to go.
But
you prefer it for that not to happen, but.
Yeah, we'd love you to have no free time at all, but it happens, and I'm curious.
Yeah.
Players who miss cuts, I mean, not, you know, I think mm-hmm. I think a lot of golf fans assume that, okay, you miss a cut, you get on your private jet or on net jets and you go home, and that's just not the reality for the vast majority of players. So when
not many private jets out here, that's for sure.
So when players miss cuts, I mean, I know there are players that get out there and just grind on the practice facility for the extra time, and there are probably mm-hmm. other, do you still take advantage of player dining? Do you hang out, become a fan? Do you go and see the sights? How do you spend that time, you know, that weekend time, because you're basically waiting for your flight to the next city?
Yeah. You know what? Like, it depends on how you feel, because sometimes if you are a little mad at the situation and the fact that you're not playing the weekend, then, at least for me, I a lot of times take the Saturday off and either go explore or, like, where you're at, relax, if there's a pool, you know, just something to take your mind away from golf, have a day completely off. And then there'll be other times when you kind of feel like, all right, it's right there, and you just need to work a little bit more on it, so you will grind for a little bit. But it is true, the player dining, it seems to be something we kind of take advantage of, especially if you're in the hotel. And, you know, don't have food at home. So then you end up doing that. But as far as turning into a fan, unfortunately, not so much. Because when you missed a cut, you just kind of want to get out of there. It's a funny thing because, I rarely get to stick around, like, and watch Sunday golf because you're around golf all the time. So it's only if you have a close friend who is towards the lead that you want to kind of watch, but other than that, no, you don't really turn into much of a fan, unfortunately.
So when players do miss an occasional cut, and, you know, maybe that Saturday you take off and you're away from the golf course, are you willing to take mm-hmm. some risks with what you eat or drink during those times that you wouldn't do, you know, like go to a local joint that looks like a dump, but you're thinking, okay, I want to try something from this place or I've heard about it. Are you willing to take the chance with what you're putting in your body?
You know what? It's not much about taking the chance. I think it's just more kind of what you like to eat. And in general, those dumps are not quite up my alley. But I do like to try different foods when I'm around. Like yesterday I had Thai and Vietnamese. Another week we had a lot of Vietnamese. I don't know, it's just something different. So I'm not too concerned about the taking risks.
I know you live in Arizona now. How often do you get back to Denmark?
Unfortunately, not much.
No.
My husband's back in Arizona, so every chance I get, I go back to Arizona to see him and our little puppy. So Denmark is about once a year I try to go home.
And what about Vegas? Mm-hmm. I mean, you went to UNLV. I mean, what do you get back to Vegas? And I guess when you guys play a tournament that's near a casino and some of the players like, ooh, casino, you must be like, yeah, casino.
You know what? Vegas, I haven't been there since my bachelorette party about 2 years ago.
Wow. So, are you allowed back?
I don't know. I don't know. That's the question, right? No, unfortunately, I don't get to go back much. Just, you know, my friends I had in Vegas kind of seem to scatter out like across the country anyway. And, you know, I've kind of been there, done that. And so I don't get to go to Vegas too much. But I think my party days are like in my past.
Yeah, so, you're going to school at UNLV. I mean, they always say that people that live in Las Vegas don't go anywhere near the casinos. As a collegiate player there, I mean, obviously you spend a lot of time on the golf course and doing your studies.
Yeah.
I mean, did kids from the school go to the casinos at all, or they just kind of stay away and go do their own thing at campus?
No, I was never the big gambler, so I never really spent much time in the casino gambling, but it was fun to go down to the strip every once in a while. Their shows are amazing. It can be a good time. You know, it's a little, parking and traffic and lots of weird people, but, I mean, it's a fun time. Well, but, yeah, I think the good part was that with so much golf and practice, I really didn't have too much time to go out, so, yeah.
All right, well,
stayed on track with school and golf and all that.
We're talking to our good friend Therese Colbeck O'Hara, who managed to find a good Irishman so she could have the name TKO, which is my favorite nickname
right.
on tour. you know, I'm curious. If you look back at how this season has gone for you, this is your second year on the LPGA Tour with what you would call it, your time on the Symetra Tour last year. How much different is it than 2 years ago to be out there again for a second time? And are there huge advantages to sort of just being in that environment a second time?
I mean, for sure. At first rookie year, everything is new. Every place you go, it's a new course you got to learn. And, you know, it is a little nerve-wracking, and you feel like there are not that many tournaments to kind of learn from until the season's kind of over, unless you qualify for the Asia Swing, which is the final 8 or 9 events for the top 80 or 60 on the money list. So it kind of goes by very fast. So it was definitely different coming back this year and feeling more comfortable and knowing a lot of the courses and the venues, and you're coming back to the same host family. So it's really nice. That being said, you still got to play great golf, and that's the big change from Symetra, just the level. If you have an off day, you're not playing the weekend. And so, I mean, that hasn't changed, and the level in general just gets better and better and better out here. So still trying to work my way through more weekends, that's for sure.
And what did that year on the Symetra Tour do for you? I mean, obviously you wanted to get out of there as quickly as you could. That's the goal. We always hope on the Symetra Tour to never see you guys again. But what did that year do for you? I mean, you had the first year out, you were on the LPGA Tour, and then you had to take a step back. What did you work on? How did you regroup? And do you look back on it fondly?
I do, because, and I would say my rookie year in LPGA, while it was a lot of fun, a great experience, it was also a lot of getting knocked down, just result-wise, because if I was on Symetra, I was used to making cuts and making money every weekend. I know it's in smaller scale than LPGA, but there's something to be said for having success, getting top 10, top 15s, and all of a sudden getting out on the LPGA, and I was, you know, struggling. Didn't keep my card, obviously, for the following year. So it was nice just to get out and have some success again and kind of believe in myself again. So it definitely, gave me back some confidence. And, I was happy playing again where you, on the LPGA and my rookie years, definitely got beat down a lot with my game anyway. So.
All right, and speaking of your game, I'm a stats guy. I like to look at the stats. Number one, do you look at your stats on the LPGA Tour? And number two, what's the thing that you're working on right now? Because we always hear, you know, former players that are doing announcing work, and they're like, yeah, you know, you go to the course, and maybe there's one or two things that you use as a swing key, as a thought as you play your week of golf. So, do you look at your stats, and what are you working on right now?
Look a little bit at my stats, and I write down my own stats. So I do follow along. It's not every week, So I do look at that, and I know the stuff that I've been battling in the last couple of weeks was the putting. So I worked a lot on my putting and just trying to make more putts and start them more on the line, which I guess I was struggling with. But I feel like that's slowly turning around, so that's a good good sign. And then as far as long game, just I'm working a lot on trajectory. Oh, goodness. And that's, yeah, just hitting it higher because I tend to come in a little too low on my ball flight. So, yeah, that's just something I'm working on right now.
So when you're practicing and working on that putting, is it reading the putts that's giving you trouble? Is it figuring out the undulations? Is it the swing plane itself? What sort of do you work on when you focus on something in your game to improve it when you're on the green?
Yeah, no, actually, green reading, I would say, is one of my strengths. So I feel fairly confident about that. But I actually had my caddy help me out quite a bit because a couple of weeks back, I didn't understand why I wasn't making any putt because everything felt good and I felt like I was stroking it pretty good. But then he looked at it and just kind of noticed that I was shutting the face a little bit. So I tried to work on that and then have putted a lot better since then. So it's just, yeah, work in progress, going to keep working on that.
We are hearing a lot on the PGA Tour about all of the green reading books that these guys now have. Are we seeing any of that on the LPGA mm-hmm. Tour?
Yes, they definitely have them out a lot, especially the caddies go around and then double check on the greens with a lot of the percentage slopes, you know, from aim point and stuff to confirm. And me personally, yeah, I don't use them personally because, again, I feel like green reading is one of my strengths. And, yeah, I just don't have the same need for it. I feel like it can become a little too much number and, I don't know, too technical, whereas putting is a lot of feel. So I don't want to lose that.
Well, so let me ask you, how do you feel about it? I know you don't use them and you don't need it, but how do you feel about mm-hmm. it? Do you feel like, number one, that we've heard a discussion that, you know, it takes longer because everybody's crunching these numbers, and number two, it's taking away from the integrity of the game of actually being able to read a green? I mean, how do you feel
yeah.
about it? Should it be allowed or not?
Well, the thing is, I do see the point where I think it takes the skill away because literally, like, you should see these green books. The detail, it's insane. And so in that regard, yes. However, I think it'll be extremely hard to monitor that or change that because you can't start monitoring what people are writing in their yardage book. And if you forbid the green books, then you'll see the caddies out there doing the percentage slope on the days prior anyway and have all that information. So I think it'll be tough to monitor. But I do agree. I think it's almost, yeah, you get too much information. And, yeah, this, like you're saying, the skill of reading greens disappears a little bit. But with that said, you still got to make the putt. You still got to, you know, stroke it perfect. So that will never change.
Well, and with regard to that, I mean, you've been very successful. You've played on the Danish national team. You were a two-time All-American in college. You had four victories in college. Mm-hmm. Five wins on the Cactus Tour. I mean, you didn't get where you are today without having a game that was suited to success. So what happens when you mm-hmm. think about, oh, I'm closing the face on my putter? Like, are you reluctant to make changes to what got you there? Or do you think, you know, when you need that, it's returning to something you were doing in the past? It's not making a change, but a reminder.
I think, I don't know, you always work to, I think, optimize what you're doing. There's something to be said if you're doing it extremely consistent. Then if it's a shut putter phase, that's fine. And I am still doing it, you know. I just, for like me personally, what I'm working on is just I have to feel it open. That doesn't mean it is open. It's probably still like a couple like point something degree shut. But if I do that consistently, then it's fine. But I'm definitely, I think you can definitely tinker with stuff and you always kind of have to really improve. But yeah, you can't lose kind of what got you there. And, you know, there's only so much to change and you still just gotta go play and feel it versus being very technical. So,
well, Therese, we really appreciate you hopping on with us and we look forward to your continued success out on the LPGA Tour. Good luck to you.
Of course. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.